Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time, and this is Success Freaks.
Welcome to Success Freaks number 219, Personal Power Opportunity Makers.
Where we have a take two after some malfunctions, and then it becomes really awesome.
I chat about taking up your personal power, and Charles discusses believing your way into the land of opportunity.
I bring home the possibilities, and we answer a question.
In the Level Up, Charles cautions to be aware of what you choose, and I state that in order to be awesome, you must believe in yourself.
And on beyond, Morden makes an amazing point about love, and I end with a affirmation.
All this coming up right now. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the number one Carpe Potentium Tuum, Seize Your Power in the Land of Opportunity, comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is Success Freaks number 219, part 2, Personal Power Opportunity Makers. And we are coming at you semi-live from Lakeland, Minnesota, and the Bears Den in Conyers, Georgia. In the Bears Den is the dark side of positive, Charles McFarlane. If I sound like I'm just going through the motions, because I've said this already once.
So why do you call this part two?
Part two, because yesterday, part one, we had to shut her down. Actually, we got shut down.
That's how that worked.
That's right. We got raided. That's what happened. We got raided.
Raid. So my internet went out about 6 minutes into the live broadcast of the first section of the show. So
yeah.
That is why we're doing this a second time. But we went over to blab.im, and actually you should have the email now that allows you to download the video or get the embed code to put on the website, sir, of what we did over at Blab. Mike joined us, and he was a lot of fun.
Mike and the Mike.
And we talked about a concept came up that I actually meant to suggest maybe we retitle the show. It's the same kind of principle, but it's minding your business versus auto-correcting your life. Yeah. I liked that idea. That was a cool concept.
Yeah, it was, because as we said, those of you who didn't tune in to the Blab, as we said yesterday, instead of letting these things happen, auto-correct, you know, you actually have to mind your business, do things, yada, yada, yada. So, blah.
So, yeah, and while you may wonder how, if the internet was out, that I went over there and did a social media internet thing, it's because on my phone, the Blab app works really well. And it was good quality. It was just discussion. It was fine. So here, yeah, today we're going to do the show about making choices, taking over your life, and living in the universe of possibilities, man. It's so many times in my life, I've just thought things could happen, and everybody's like, well, I think you used to call people dreamers, right? There's a famous Kenny Rogers song, Don't Fall in Love with a Dreamer, which right. They'll hurt you every time. And yes, it's a great song. It's sad. Most of his songs kind of are sad, but love Kenny Rogers. And I used to kind of regret that song for so long, but now it's like, no, you know, people who are dreamers believe in what they believe in, and many, many things can happen that are amazing. So just go along for the ride.
Right. As long as they're moving forward with that and actually doing something about it, you know, taking up their personal power and actually doing something. Dreaming is wonderful. Daydreaming gets you there. It's the beginning of everything. But until you set things in action, it is just in your head.
So the game we're going to play today is how can each of us work our own title into the, as we transition the topic? Because I'm doing the same thing. I'm the land of potential. He's the own your power. And every transition is going to be who can get their title back in there. Something I want to re-mention is last week we talked about caffirmations, and I actually did one this past week, and it was a lot of fun. So I'm going to try to keep an eye on different affirmations that are out there and change them to things about coffee or caffeine. So hashtag caffirmation. Check it out.
Where did you post that? Was it on Twitter?
Yeah, you posted some affirmation on Twitter. I happened to see it. So I just replied actually back to that Twitter post.
Okay, cool.
And so people would see the original and then see the coffee version.
Was it a House of the Bear, or was it through Success Freaks?
No, man, I don't touch Success Freaks. Who touches it? Nobody looks at Success Freaks. I don't know.
Damn it, Carl. I have Success Freaks coming to my phone.
Yeah, you do Success Freaks, and we get help with it too.
since we started working with Dammit Carl, it's just, I was like, why am I getting all these tweets? I'm like, I may actually have to shut that down because it's like, okay, you're doing your job too great. So
No such thing.
I want to throw out there, because it's on our list of things to talk about and we haven't talked about it lately, is if you can, follow us on Blog Talk Radio and subscribe to us on iTunes. We would really, really appreciate it. If you can write us a review on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Okay, so everything is Success Freaky. So you find us at Success Freaks, you know, via those things. It will let us know that you're enjoying what we're putting out here, and it will make us feel warm and fuzzy. And that's always a good thing. Make us feel warm and fuzzy about what we do. Because we ain't doing it for the money, kids. Maybe one day. Algún día. Not this day.
I do it to own the world.
One podcast at a time. That's what's happening there. So we're also going an hour earlier today than
normal.
Well,
yeah, because because today is not show day. You already had stuff planned in life. And
I have a dental appointment. So I have to make sure this gets, you know, done with a quickness. And then it's like, okay, I got to show up to the dentist and get my teeth fixed. My tooth.
So we did learn on Blab that something was going on, and I don't know if she'll tell the whole story, but the punchline was Morton's actual tooth came out of his head. And then he talks about how he put it back in his head. And like, wait, what? I can just imagine you jamming a real tooth up into the gum socket and like duct taping it in or something. And it turns out that it was not your original.
No, not the original. No, it's my bionic tooth that, you know, $6 million tooth. Hopefully it's not.
So when it fell out, it go.
Apparently, lamb is its adversary, is its kryptonite. Because I was eating lamb at the festival, and I think I must have bit into the bone or scraped the bone or something. Because then I noticed something, felt something on the tooth. And I'm like, is it lamb? Like, I have something stuck there, and it was the actual tooth is chipped on the outside. I'm like, okay, weird. I'm going to have to get that checked out. Thanks. Great. So my dentist is in North Carolina. Well, later on, was it yesterday or the day before? I was going to the gym and eating a protein bar, which is kind of chewy, and I felt something extra in my mouth, and my tooth.
That could be so many things. It's so gross. Would you have that what the hell's in my mouth feeling?
Yeah, I thought it was a crown maybe, but it's not. It's a post that's put in there, and it had just come out. So I'm like, I pull over at a rest stop and, you know, get on the horn with people about dentists so I can get into a dentist. I contacted my dentist from North Carolina, so she would talk to them as well. We found a place which is actually very, very close. A lodge brother has a daughter who was like a dental assistant that works at one in the city right next to us.
A dental hygienist.
So I'm going to go there today. And I'm like, so I hear you guys have a quick turnaround. They're like, actually, no, we don't. But, you know, if we can fix this for now, we'll do that. Which reminds me, I have to make sure I pull out money to pay for this. I jammed it back up in the place and it stayed. So I'm like, okay, I will go to the gym. I will do these things. I was a little freaked out, but that was it, man. I was claiming my personal power just, you know, going forward instead of letting that just beat me and go, I'm going to go home now because I don't feel okay. Because I don't feel okay. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and it's one of my front teeth. It's not the two front teeth. It's the one to the right. So there I am, toothless. And thank God I'm filming a DVD in a week and a half, because that's awesome now. But you just keep moving forward, you know, keep on keeping on, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, just for everybody's knowledge, you know, it is common vernacular to call your toilet the John, but Mornit named his Jim, so everybody would think he's doing more than he is, because he goes to the gym every morning.
That's awesome.
Well, you know what? We got a lot of possibilities of what's going to come up next and more about owning your life and taking control of your power. But speaking of Dammit Carl, you know, we are in partnership with Islamic Relief USA. They have been amazing to us. They have a Day of Dignity coming out all over the United States. Check out their website, irusa.org, to find out more about the Day of Dignity in your area. It's where you give haircuts to the homeless, and they get the shower, new clothes, and it's just an amazing thing to give some dignity back to people who've lost a lot. So
right. Americans helping American communities. So
exactly. And, of course, they are helping out with the stuff going on in Europe. I cannot remember the word I'm looking for, so we'll tell you exactly what it is in the next section when we can look it up. We'll be right back.
Since 2011, Mordant and McFall have been bringing you the comedic motivational show Success Freaks. They've covered everything from life and death to relationships and money and even on beyond to chasing and catching your dreams and leveling up your life. They're in the business of entertaining and edifying, and they like to level up their message as well as their reach. This is where you come in. If you believe in what we're doing here, we'd like your continued support in giving your mind and spirit something to chew on each week while putting enough laughter in your heart to make you smile out loud. Help us help others and you to be awesome. Just go to patreon.com/successfreaks.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 219, Personal Power Opportunity Makers, or Mind Your Business versus Autocorrect Your Life. So, speaking of title creation, we had a thing with this title. Both of us had different ideas of what we wanted to do, and they were both great titles. You know, I wanted to talk about picking up your personal power. You wanted to talk about being in the land of opportunity. And we're just trying to mesh all that together. And then we did our blab yesterday. So the title itself was an interesting endeavor that we did. Do you want to talk about why you have your title first?
Sure. So.
Oh, wait. We forgot. By the way, Syrian refugees, IRUSA. That's what we were talking about.
They're on the ground in Europe helping with the Syrian refugees as well. Yes. So. Now back to the regular show. So I've always been the guy who said this is a reality. This is a possibility that could actually happen, even if it's a stretch. To the point that if somebody asked me even about do you believe in monsters like Bigfoot or Loch Ness, I've done some reading on that stuff. I'm like, you know what? I don't discount things because there's so much in this world we don't know about. There's so many places we can't go, blah, 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 blah. So it's always about the possibilities. And if you start discounting possibilities, your world gets so small and so dark to me and bland that things can go south. And recently, I told the story yesterday on Blab. I'll do it really quickly here. Recently, I was talking about, we mentioned on the show last week, meeting Felicia Day and how we're going to try to have her on and why that's an actuality. And I had to set down the path of here's why it could happen, because most of the world just doesn't believe, you know, they don't follow my mind. So I sat down the path and everybody goes, oh, okay, yeah, we get that. Well, there's an even longer path beyond that. And I was getting a little bit of fun-natured grief about it from one of my other friends. And I said, you know what? I've been doing this for 10 years and I've been watching the superstars of podcasting like Brian Ibbett do his thing. And I said, if I'd said 5 years ago, I'm going to do a show with him, nobody would have believed it. If I said I was going to work with Adam Curry, nobody would have believed Adam Curry, the creator of podcasting and MTV, former MTV VJ and a radio star in his own right. But the thing is, I did. I did both of those things. I'm doing a show with Brian Ibbett now. I've done worked with Mordant. We've worked with Adam Curry on the New Agenda Global Radio for a while. And I actually worked for it for a while, not just had a show on there. So there's lots of different things going on. And I'll go into depth when Mordant's ready, but we've been looking. My wife just paid off a car, and we've been looking for a car for myself because I've been driving my father-in-law's Jeep, which bugs my wife to no end because I guess she doesn't like the fact that we're using somebody else's stuff is the bottom line there. So we started looking for a car, and I wanted a hybrid. I wanted a hybrid with toys in it. And while I gave up on the toys like Bluetooth and those kind of things built in, I really, really wanted a hybrid because I don't drive that much, but when I do, it's pretty good distances. So I really wanted the best possible mileage I could get. And she wanted a payment. She wanted a certain number. It's $150 a month because the van was $280-something dollars a month, and we wanted to essentially not quite split it, obviously, but split it so we'd have extra left over. We made that van payment just fine every month. It was easy enough to do. But she wanted to do the Dave Ramsey thing and pay down some debt. So she was really focused on that and wasn't going to budge. And I honestly, I just didn't want a junky car. I've had that before. I'm tired of it. I'm ready to do something more successful and fun in my life. Like get a car that looks new and feels new and has cool tech in it, like either Bluetooth or hybrid or whatever. And the short version is, and like I said, I'm going to give more time to talk here, but the short version is we got what we wanted because we focused on what we wanted. And while everybody else said we had to give up, and there's a lot longer story to it, we didn't give up, and I ended up getting a 2004 Honda Civic Hybrid for the exact payment for $143 a month is what we got it for. Now, here's the kicker on it. It's a 2004, but it only has 46,000 miles. This thing has, like, never been driven. So we got a car that should have over 100,000 more miles on it than we did. So we really got an amazing deal. That's my land of possibilities, and just believe in what you want and focus on it and work hard and be willing to flow. And there's more to it, but Mordant, here's your time.
All right. And just to put things in perspective for Charles, my truck is also a 2004, and I have over 300,000 miles on it. Now, I'm an extreme.
Yeah.
But that just puts things in perspective on what kind of a great deal that he got. Anywho, taking up your personal power, I've been reading this book called Sacred Success, A Course in Financial Miracles. It's by Barbara Stanley. And Barbara's father was the R in H&R Block. She was always told never to worry about finances. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then she got married to a husband, and the same thing. Don't worry about it. He wound up having a gambling problem, gambled away all of her money, all of her trust money. So she went back to her father and said, "Hey, can you help me out?" And he said, "No." So one of the things that I find, although this is a book primarily for women, and I know we have a lot of women listeners, and it talks about how women going in the job place, women trying to become successful, have a different reason than most men. Men like to have that, like to have the money, like to have the prestige. It's more of an accomplishing thing. Look at what I can do. It's much more in our makeup to go out there and succeed and destroy so that we can be the top of the heap. But it's different for women. According to the studies this book is talking about, women are, yes, they like to have money. Yes, they want to be secure. But beyond that, it varies a different place. And it goes to because they want to help others, because they want to help their family. So it goes into a different place than where the men go. So this is a great book for women who have always had a hard time with power. This is what we're talking about. Men enjoy that power for the power's sake. Women enjoy it so they can help other people. So if you have a problem picking up your personal power, doing things because of that, and where this strikes home for me is I learned pretty young in life, in my teenage years, that if I don't know what I'm doing, which is a lie that I tell myself, if I don't know what I'm doing or I'm not able to do something, then other people will help me. And on some level, it'll feed into my laziness. It'll feed into my, well, I don't want to screw it up or anything like that. But because of that, I'm not claiming my own personal power. So this is something that I'm addressing recently. I mean, sure, it's a different version. I'm always working on something. Charles will say, "You always say the same stuff." Well, I'm always working on the same crap. So you're going to hear it as long as I'm dealing with it. And we have new listeners all the time. So welcome to the party. But I recommend this book if you want to. And again, this is heard her interviewed on Adventures in Happiness. It's a great interview. Again, find her name, Barbara Stanley, there. I think it's one of the latest ones, but it will talk about that. And it talks about how it's called Sacred Success because it ties into, the spiritual aspect of power, the spiritual aspect of money, and especially in today's day and age where we're starting to see, one side of the country, of the United States being very, well, money is bad and the people who have money are bad. And the other side, well, everybody who doesn't have money is lazy. That's crap. There is a spirituality to finances. There is a thing about taking up your personal power so that you can move forward and accomplish in your life, whether it's because you want to accomplish just for its own sake, so you can become who you wish to become, or it's because so that you can help others. You can help others be awesome, which is one of what we try to do here at Success Freaks. So that's where I'm coming from with that.
With that. So you can check us out. You can check us out at on the radio on Thursday nights at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's WGNC, Gastonia, North Carolina, AM 1450. We are there every week, so tune in if you're in that area. Of course, again, blogtalkradio.com/successfreaks. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your small change isn't making a difference to help your neighbors in need? You can make changes that count. Islamic Relief USA's Day of Dignity is giving you the chance to fight poverty in your community. Visit IRUSA.org to learn more about Day of Dignity events happening soon in your city. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 219, Personal Power Opportunity Makers. And we have, first of all, Charles wants to talk about more about his stuff. So go ahead, Charles, launch into that.
Oh, okay. So you ask, what? Why do I believe in such potential? Thank you for asking that. That's such a great question. It's because it's worked out well for me. As recently, my wife is actually settling in with me as well as far as this belief. But when I really do hate to keep harping on it, but when you have a big event in your life, you do measure time from that. In 2013, lost my job, yada, yada, yada. But it's been a big up and down for income. But now, as of like this month even, we're talking about finances, and my wife just doesn't understand how the money works. Not because she's ignorant, not because she doesn't try, but because it does come from five different sources. It can be confusing. This is not one paycheck. And this actually will answer the question, but we'll bring that up in a minute. The idea is, I don't always know where the money's going to come from. I just know the money's always there when we go to pay bills. That's how it's been for the last 6 months to a year. We keep working hard. We keep chasing opportunities. And we stop focusing on the income and start focusing on what we're doing. It has worked out. So it's hard to not believe in potential and how everything works when it's just working that way. So going back to this car, roughly 6 months ago in April, I went to California with Entrepreneur Radio and Marcy Rosenbaum and used Uber for the first time, right? Uber is an app on your phone where you get a car service, and it's really, really cheap compared to taxis or actual car services. And it was really nice. And as I do, I talk to the people, why do you do this? How much do you make? You know, just mini interviewing, and liked the idea of working for them. You know, you can do it on your own time, but of course you have to have a nice car, and I didn't. But I kept that potential in my mind the entire time. Going, man, I really want a nice car at some point so I can do this. It really would fit with how I earn money. It fit with my scheduling and building a podcast network and doing my shows and all that other stuff. And since I focused on that, when my wife said, hey, let's get you a car, I started looking at nicer cars, which were too expensive. And she said, it has to be $150 a month, which I knew was a lower amount of money. But instead of getting discouraged, this is the point I want everybody to hear. Instead of getting discouraged and going, okay, fine, I'll just do it your way, I went, you know what, there's no reason I can't have both. And I held on to that possibility. There's absolutely no reason I can't do what I want and make her happy. And it came down in the negotiations. Every time we tried three different cars, we finally got the third one. And the first two cars, we'd take it back to our bank, which we'd already talked to. And they said, yeah, with what you did with the van, we'll give you $8,000. At a decent percentage rate, and it'll be this much per month. But that will change with the specific car that you bring to us. So everything we brought was either over mileage or too old. And we went through that process two or three times with the dealership wanting, let's say, $7,000, and the bank saying, no, we'll pay $5,000 for that. But it was not just how much they'd pay, because you're like, ooh, lower payment. It's not just that. It was also the payment. The monthly payment would go way up because they'd shorten the time frame because of the things with the car. But I held on to that possibility. And when we finally got down to the point with this one, that Aaron was going to go in, we're going to take all the kids in. It's her name on the loan. She's going to sign the loan. So when we did that, she goes, you know, I'm not budging. Not 180 is my max. I'm not going over that. I'm not putting money down. I said, cool. That's fine. I did what I do as a success freak. I said, hey, we're going to get the deal we want. I will walk away with you. There is no negative energy here. I'm not pissed off. I'm not going to pout about it. I'm happy. Go in, be the hard ass, get what you want, because we both will win on this. And then I'll walk away with you if we have to walk away. And she was still a little concerned about it, but we walked in, no money down. The both banks, because they ran their own bank as well, both banks came back with a similar counteroffer, which was a good $1,400 less than what the dealership wanted. And the dealership just went, okay, we'll discount it. We'll discount it, no money down. And we worked with the bank to make sure you got your payment. And when they said $143 a month, I went, told you so. So that's what I really wanted to talk about, the potential, is, man, so many people do dismiss potential, do dismiss, and it's not the same as one day I'll win the lottery and I'll be a millionaire. No, it's everyday things. I've started for me 6 months ago, or however long April was from here, of going, one day I'll have a nice car and I can really fit this driving thing into my schedule and it'll be really great. To now, I have, man, it looks like a brand new car. You can't even tell it's a 2004. I mean, it looks like a brand new car. It's great. Everything's working out. And I actually did have a meeting with Lyft yesterday and combine expect a car. And I'll probably be starting driving this week, which will be some great new income because I'm about to hit the really slow period in everything else that I do. So that's what I really wanted to get across.
Yeah, and that's great because you went in there, you actually stuck to your guns, and
I was happy about it. That's the key. I was happy about it. I wasn't fighting her, and I wasn't pouting.
Now, listener Mike actually has a question that ties well into what you're talking about. How do you find the conviction to believe the hard to believe? And he says, Charles believed that he would work with Brian Ibbett. He talks about something else, and that other guy. How do you believe in the impossible? Without it being like chasing a dream, and you talk about the car thing as well. How are you able to do that in spite of what's going out there? I want to throw out there right now that 2 years ago, Charles wouldn't have been able to do this. 2 years ago, you know, for those of you out there, like, yeah, I tried to believe in stuff and it just doesn't work. Well, you're not where he is now. And it's taken a couple of years for him to get there. It's taken him, you know, changing his job. I mean, he went through, like you said, he lost his job and all these other things that he had to go through.
That's partially true.
Building up to this, you know, all of this has affected how he believes in things, how he moves forward with things. So, you know, it's all done, I think, in baby steps, to quote Dave Ramsey. So, you know, and it comes through practical application. It comes through you trying this out one belief step at a time. You can do something small. Well, I'm going to believe that I get this today, or I believe that this is going to happen today. Maybe I'm going to believe that I'm going to give this today. You know, something small, and you work yourself up to it. And it doesn't always work out right away.
I would say, along those lines, agreeing with you on that, I'd say the baby steps actually start with what you believe about yourself. I just looked up at the chat room, and England Ken is in, and he's known me for a very long time. When I really first started with podcasting, he came across where I was doing that. And I've told that story. Sometimes you believe what other people believe about you. I just started doing something I thought may be funny. I was a little worried about it for another show. I was doing this stuff. Some of it was funny, some of it wasn't. But the more they enjoyed it, the more I went, okay, I can do creative, funny things. Then they just kind of took that and ran with it. And the way they saw me was kind of who I am now. Just this, they call me a rising star, and I was going to get too big for them and this and that and the other. And I'm not too big for them. I love those guys. TwoGuysOneBrain.com. But you should check them out. But the thing was, they always saw me differently than I saw myself, and I started believing that. And I think that's where these baby steps start. So, yes, while you're saying, when I say that's partially true, I've always believed in potential, but I didn't always believe in myself. And for it to work this way now did take time.
Listener Christina says, it is so hard to pull up the courage to start to do that. Stand up for yourself, your worth, have your power, and trust in that you are worth it. So that does stab right at that. You know, whether you're believing yourself into the land of opportunities or you're taking up your personal power, it all begins with self-worth. You know, whether it's something that you've learned as a child that, oh, you know, I'm worthless as tits on a boar hog, which is what my dad used to say to me, or other things like that, and just it kind of beats down your own self-worth. You can have the strongest people, and I'll say people, not just women, but the strongest people, and if you're in a relationship that hasn't even gone physical but is going south, the first thing they work at pulling down is your self-esteem. So you believe that, well, you know, I kind of deserve what's going on. It's not his fault. It's not her fault. And it's not until after they're out of the relationship for a little while they get their self-esteem back, and then they're like, how could I have been in there? You know, you see somebody that's in a relationship where they're battered or they're just, you know, emotionally abused. You're like, how can you put up with that? It happens in baby steps. And then your self-esteem is whittled down so far that you're like, well, it's not their fault. I kind of did this, or, you know, yeah, I don't deserve better. And it's not till you're outside of it and you build up that self-esteem. Same thing with taking up your personal power. It happens in baby steps. Right now you're like, well, I know I don't want to do that. I don't want to make waves. If I try to pick something up myself, isn't that being selfish? You know, versus no, what can I actually do? What's the good that I can do here? It happens in baby steps. And you have to believe that you deserve that.
And I will say that you are believing you're choosing to believe those negative messages that are pulling your self-esteem down. So that it, you don't think you are, but you say, how can you believe in the impossible? Well, you're believing in the impossible now when you don't believe in yourself. So we'll probably dive more into that with the Level Up here coming up next. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Mike with MikeAtTheMic.com. And you know how it works. When you need voiceover, you need it now, and you need to get it as professional as possible. So if you're looking for a guy who's a podcast producer who comes equipped with voiceover skills and is affordable, professional, and quick, I'm your guy. Check me out. MikeAtTheMic.com. That's M-I-K-E at the M-I-C.com.
Welcome back to Success Freaks number 219, Personal Power Opportunity Makers. Here we are in the Level Up section where we help you level up your life. Now, as I've been talking about picking up your personal power, whether it's so you can help yourself financially or just, you know, to be able to claim your life and then be able to help others through that, Charles has been talking about the land of opportunity and creating that for you and believing yourself into that. In the last segment, we realized that the beginning of all of that is believing in yourself. Now, listener Julie says, sometimes it takes a friend or even an employer that believes in you more than you believe in yourself. Believe them and run with it. Absolutely. If, you know, if you don't have enough faith in yourself or you don't think that you're worthy, go ahead and talk to one of your friends. A game that I like to play when I'm coaching somebody, something I like to do is talk to yourself as if you were talking to somebody else. Whatever this issue is, you know, talk to yourself about that. Or as if you're talking to a friend, and then you can listen to it, and then ask yourself, what would you tell your friend? Well, I really don't believe in myself. I really don't think I can do that. I'm not really not worth it. Okay, a friend is talking to you. This is not your issue. What would you say to that friend? And every time I do this with somebody, they kind of hesitate because they know what's coming. Well, I would say this, and I would believe in yourself, and I would. Yeah, absolutely. Then move forward with that. Believe in yourself. Then you can take that next step in taking up your personal power and things like that. So if you can't do that yourself, talk to a friend or talk to, you know, run through all those doubts you have in your mind as if you are talking to a friend and then give advice to that friend. If you can't do it in your head, write it down. You know, you could actually journal this. This is a great thing. You could do a video and then share with everybody else, and then you are helping others be awesome. Or you could always run it by us, and we'll tell you. We'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you where to go.
Well, that's what I love about the phrase, help others be awesome. People lock onto that because it's something you can do. You can push yourself aside and go help somebody else. You can give to charity. You can volunteer wherever. My kids have been raised in that mentality, so every time something comes up, they look at how they can be involved in it. With my son going to public school now, he has the opportunity to be in 4-H, and he's already maxed out his credits for public service there, and he's only been in it a month because he's like, oh, they're doing this thing over here. I'm going to volunteer for that. They're doing this thing over here. And his mom is right there with him going, yeah, let's go do that stuff. So what people forget and it's good to forget because then you don't focus on it, but you have to be awesome in order to help others be awesome. You know, if you're always poor, pitiful me, or I can't, or I, you know, the focusing on the helping others does take your focus off of what you're thinking of. And then what we ended with in the last segment about you're choosing to believe these negative messages about yourself, that's important to know. But what I want to talk about here going into the level up is, you always choose. You just don't realize it. I had the same thing. I used to blame my parents for the messages that I got. I used to blame them. Then as I started healing, started working on my own crap, I started realizing they're just people too and started seeing where they get their messages from and how they learned it. And honestly, people tried to do the best they can. But it wasn't until I really started working with Success Freaks that I gathered, hey, I believe this about myself because I believe this. Well, why can't I just believe that? And that's the land of possibilities. When you start talking about, man, that's why I said, Morton, you were partially correct when you said, well, it took lately. I misunderstood quite what you're saying. You were talking about how it affects my life now. But I've always believed in these potential things. People call it no fear. And that was a thing. It wasn't fear. It was not the absence of fear that moved me forward. It was the belief in possibility. Sure, I can do that. homeschooling was brand new in the 80s. Of course, the local paper covered my family when we started doing that. That actually took us to the Fox affiliate, which was brand new at the time. And here I am, 10 years old, 12 years old, maybe. I can't remember exact age I was. On TV with an adult, with you know another adult who's teaching their family, or maybe they started a homeschool group, being interviewed with you know the adult and myself, and then by the person on TV. And according to the story, I just commanded the interview. You know, I just gave all these answers and spoke so well, and they were surprised by this kid because I wasn't thinking about TV cameras. I wasn't thinking about the things that most adults and people freak out about. I was just talking because one, it is what I do, but two, it's because that was my life. This we do homeschool. That's just normal. So believe what you believe. If you think you can't, it's because you believe you can't. Could you change that? Absolutely. Do you want me to get deeper into the things that we can do that sound crazy? I can do that, but I don't think you want it.
Well, right now I want to speak to something that you said. You said in order to help others be awesome, you have to be awesome. And I agree with that, but I don't agree with the order. And I think you just said it. I don't think you mean it that way. If you're waiting to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't mean waiting. Go ahead, sorry.
That ain't going to happen. The awesome happens when you're doing. You know, it's like somebody saying, well, I want to lose weight before I go to the gym. No, that doesn't. I understand you're embarrassed, but get in there, do the work, and then the awesome happens. Same thing. You want to be awesome. You want to feel good about yourself, even though you've got a lot of crap going on in your life and you have low self-esteem and you don't think you're worthy of anything. Help somebody else out. It doesn't mean you have to go, well, let me find somebody who's really worse off than me. No, you don't need to do it like that. Just find somebody and help somebody else out. And then the awesome will arise in you. It will level up your own awesome. So don't wait for it. Go out there and do. And that's how listener Christina says, you become awesome by helping others.
See, I'm going to have to disagree. I know it's semantics, but I am going to have to disagree with both of you. It's starting to build up in me. No, you are awesome. You are freaking made that way. You are born that way. You have it in you. You just choose not to see it. It's not. You don't become awesome because you did all this great stuff, which is where my mind goes when with what you're saying. That might not be what either
we're
one
just,
of you
we're
mean.
We're arguing semantics right now because I am talking about the feeling. I am talking about the feeling of awesome. Charles is absolutely right. You are awesome. You just don't know it yet. But you want to have that feeling well up inside you. Help somebody else out. Help somebody be awesome.
There you go. I like that. You see you're awesome. There you go, Christina. Maybe the better way is you see you're awesome. So I think it's time to level up the show, man.
All right. You mean give our level ups? I think we just did that.
No. Well, I like to be clear. Let's be clear about what
okay,
level
okay. Up. Very specific. Level up your life. Believe in yourself. And I'm going to tag into what we just say. Help others be awesome. It's going to help you be awesome. You, as far as picking up your personal power, believe that that's an okay thing because your motives behind it are good. If you have any doubts, I would say take a look at Sacred Success by Barbara Stanley. It's I'm finding interesting thing because oddly enough, even though it's written more for women, I am finding that I have similar issues when it comes to this kind of thing. So don't be afraid of picking up your personal power because you may want to use your powers for good. Maybe you have that great responsibility. So there's
oh,
my thing. How do you like
you
that?
Totally drug Spider-Man into this thing.
I did. He's amazing. He's not the awesome Spider-Man. He's the amazing Spider-Man.
My level up is be aware of what you choose. And if people think you're crazy for believing in stuff they don't believe in, be crazy. Be out there. I could list some things that were just like, wow, that's just him. He's crazy. But you know, at the same time, you're wondering, is he right? Because look at all this other stuff he's done. You know, Mordant, a story we love to tell, one of the years Mordant and I went to New Media Expo, we had some friends with us, and he tells the story of watching me bounce around the room in this after party talking to people. It's like, man, you know, he has no fear. And I was like, again, it's not the lack of fear. It's the fact that everybody else has it or everybody else is believing to hold themselves back. And like, I'm just going to go talk to you because trying things, you can only learn through experience. You can only change your hardcore beliefs through experiencing something that's opposite of that belief. And the only way to do it, here's the level up, let go. That doesn't mean you don't believe. And I'll even challenge the deepest hardcore religious roots. Let go of your belief in God. Let go. Does that mean you don't believe? No. When you let go, then you figure out what you really believe, where your faith really lies, or is it just stuff that you've been told? You know, I did that. I'm still a man of faith. I still have my things I can discuss with people. But when you believe you can't, you'll never do. when you believe that politics are the answer, and I'm not poking mordant. We're not talking about voting and stuff. Well, I just say, when you believe politics will save you, let go of that, and maybe you'll see a different way. When you believe religion will save you, let go. That's the only way to really figure out what you believe, because you're not holding on to something that you thought you had. Does that make sense?
I'm going to go back to the story of the Good Samaritan, where there was a man who was traveling, and he got set upon by robbers and beaten and stolen from and left to die. And one religious person walked by and went, "Oh, that's such a shame that that happened to that man," and passed by. And then another, you know, very high upstanding person passed. And I'm paraphrasing, passed by and said, "Oh, that's just a shame," and just but didn't want to bother and went on. It was a Samaritan who very different religious beliefs, often looked down on. They were not friends with the man that had been beaten. He helped, took him into his own home, made sure that he was okay. So when Charles says things like "let go of God," it's let go of that religion, and that's I'm speaking. Again, we're arguing semantics here. Let go of that religion and reach out and help people one on one. Reach out, you know, your neighbors, whether you believe something different. Help others be awesome. Reach out and be a helpful person, and then I'm thinking you're going to be doing God's work. Something that I tweeted out when there was an accident that happened at
time. Did you hear the beep?
I heard the beep.
All right. We'll get into Ambiance. He'll tell this story in Ambiance. I want to hear it. Doesn't sound familiar. So we'll be right back.
Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting is an honest and revealing look at tagging and bagging a bigger, badder, better, more life. Mordant and McFall discuss the trials and tribulations encountered on their path through uncharted territory, the lessons learned along the way, and how they use them to move forward. Explore what causes you to hesitate when taking that first big step into the unknown. Discover how to experience the thrill of success firsthand. A guidebook for those brave souls no longer satisfied with an average life. Success Freak's Guide to Dream Hunting, available now at Amazon.com.
Welcome to On Beyond Success Freaks, where we get bigger, better, better, more into the show that we just did. We're talking about personal power and the land of opportunity. And Morning, you ended that last section talking about some tweet that you sent out and based off the Good Samaritan. Go ahead. I haven't heard this story. I want to hear this.
Well, there was an accident that happened at Mecca, which is the, I think it was this past week even, which was at the, I guess it's the most sacred site of the Muslim faith, where a crane fell down and killed 60 or more people and wounded many, many others. And, you know, I tweeted out, as soon as I heard of it, because I saw it on Twitter, I tweeted out sending love and prayers for, you know, the people and the families of those that were injured. Hashtag beyond religion. Hashtag people are people. And those are the two things that I want to hold on to. Remember that. Because we're getting so polarized lately about the different religious beliefs of everybody and the different politics of everybody, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or whatever, people are people beyond religion. You want to really do God's work. You want really want to be on the right side of the universe, of whatever. Help your neighbor. Be the Good Samaritan. It doesn't matter if he believes differently than you. If you don't like and you don't believe in, you know, gay marriage or anything like that, but you see somebody that needs help, love first, you know? Yeah, I remember growing up in the 70s and the 80s where I kept hearing God is love and Jesus loves you and God don't make no junk and all that kind of stuff. But now we seem to be picking at and warring against each other. Well, you believe this way, so you're God hates you. God hates this. God hates that. You know, well, these people are trying to kill me. It's easy to love those who are helping us. Can you, in the face of anger, in the face of people who don't believe like you, can you still love them? You know, so that's what I'm saying. People are people beyond religion. You really want to do God's work, touch those around you, help them be awesome. And you want to see awesome grow. You want to see us come together and be able to love each other. If you're sharing hate for hate, it ain't going to happen. You know, and that's what you have to get when those phrases of God is love. Well, then be the hand of God on earth, because right now it's much needed. Show love first. Let everybody else worry about dogma. So I know this is a weird on beyond that I just wanted to throw this out there.
I like where it's going, and I actually want to play with that with something current going on as well. In Kentucky, there is a government official. I'm not exactly sure what her title is, but basically she is over marriages right in the courthouse. And she made a big deal about not issuing marriage licenses because of her faith and her religion. She, to the point that she was put in jail, and they even offered to let her out of jail when if she would just not interfere with the people who work underneath her to do it. And she said, no, I can't do that. It's my faith. Dan, this is why I get so mad at politics, because whatever reason they ended up letting her out of jail, I don't care why, that's not why I'm mad. They let her out of jail, and Mike Huckabee was there, and so was Jeb Bush, I think, and they played Eye of the Tiger, and they're celebrating her standing by her convictions. I'm like, no, this is wrong. Not because your belief is wrong. You're allowed to have your belief, and if you believe gay people can't marry, I will not argue with you. You are allowed to believe that. I support your belief. I don't believe that. I believe the opposite of that, but I believe everybody has their right to their own beliefs. But you took a job that says the government tells you what to do. These are the rules. And when the rules change, you didn't change with them. You didn't say, I resign. You didn't say, I'm going to move over. No, you became this ignorant ass that is the opposite of love. You represented your faith by basically punching people in the face with it. And it's wrong.
I want to say that she, I follow the story as well. She became more of an obstructionist. The correlation that people have talked about, what if somebody in the military has is against all killing, and suddenly they find themselves in a certain place and something has to happen where, you know, I'm sorry, if you're in the military, that is going to happen. There is the need for killing and defending and things like that. And they just like, no, I'm not going to send those people out there. No, I'm sorry, not we're going to do that. They would be, you're allowed to conscientiously object, but then you are asked to move outside so you're not obstructing that.
Right.
So, and it's my understanding as well that she did say that, no, I'm not going to allow this to happen. But however, when she came out, she went back to work, and there are marriage licenses going out. She will not sign any of them, but she's not stopping it from happening.
What I understand too to that point is if she doesn't sign them, they're not exactly legal.
That's what some people are saying. There are other people who are saying, no, that's not the case. I think that's something for the lawyers to decide.
You're still being the opposite of what Jesus was. And you want to talk about the Bible and gays? There's very little said about homosexuality. Jesus didn't touch it. However, he did talk about divorce, and she's been divorced at least 3 times and married 4. So, you know, it's this thing where you want to use this Bible as a weapon, but you're in government work. The one thing I thought of immediately when she started doing this is God, Jesus said, is quoted over and over again about taxes, right? Render unto Caesar's what is his and give unto me what is mine. That is a quote that's used in every church I've ever been in for tithe, for obeying the government, for all this other stuff. Render under Caesar. And she works for the proverbial Caesar. Caesar says this is legal now. You can, like you said, consciously eject, but get the hell out of the way. You're not doing your job, and I feel bad for you. But people have had to leave jobs for different reasons all throughout their life, and you'll get a new one. You could probably transfer inside the government. You could probably do a whole lot of things. And if you want to argue with me about, well, why should she have to? Because it's the freaking law now. That's why.
And if the law is wrong, you feel the law is wrong, then change the law. But like Charles said, run it under Caesar's. Oddly enough, there is, I think, just one Republican. There's one, Lindsey Graham, who said, no, what she's doing is not right. She's obstructing. She shouldn't do that. It was like, really? Lindsey Graham said that? Okay. All right, Lindsey Graham. Everything else that you say, I'm not such a fan of. But I will look at you again. yeah, you know, it's an odd thing with your faith. Like Charles, I am very much pro-gay marriage. However, I will say this, that if you were trying to force a church to do that, which is not happening, then you're getting into freedom of religion. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's no bueno. Churches are allowed to say, not just for this issue, there are churches that say, if you're not a member of our church, you can't get married here. That's their right. Of course, that's their freedom of religion. And I support and I will defend that all the way. When you get into civil stuff, and they're like, well, why don't you just call it a civil union? Well, because a lot of insurance companies will not listen to the words civil union. It has to be a marriage. So they're being denied their rights. So we're getting into a very political topic that both of us could jump onto and all over of. Well, this is On Beyond Success Freaks.
Yeah, and you did lead with a great thing about be love and show love, and that's why I wanted to use this as a point of, no, you're wrong. Not you, but the lady is wrong. You're absolutely not showing love. And one of the arguments back when Prop 8, many, many years ago in California, one of the first bills to try to legalize gay marriage. It was Prop 8 in California. And actually, I think if you voted yes on Prop 8, it was to block gay marriage, to say that you could not be married. And I had friends who supported it. I did a show called Bear Crawling back then, and we had a huge debate on it for people who were for it and against it. And it was a very interesting show. But the one argument was what you just said. Well, we can go and vote. We have our voice. And it's a Christian guy saying it to me, and I like him. He's a good friend of mine. But I totally disagreed with him on this. And I was arguing human stuff, saying you're treating other humans like they're less than you. He goes, I don't believe in gay marriage. I have a legal vote. I'm going to go vote against it. If people want to vote for it, or, you know, basically vote for gay marriage, then they can. What you say, if you don't like the law, change the law or make sure you keep the law. And I totally disagreed with his stance as somebody who's supposed to show love. But now, so many years later, I haven't talked to him about gay marriage. But in this case, where now it's the reverse. Now the law is against you. The law is not for you now. It's against you. And now it's okay. Now it's okay to be obstructionist. And I answer to a higher law. That's so effing convenient. I answered to a higher law now when, before they passed this, you followed the government's laws and enforced things and signed off on marriages before. But now it's I answer to a higher power. Doesn't God want everybody just to love?
Listener Laura says, even God says everyone is loved. I don't have to believe with others, but I do need to respect them. So I think that's very interesting. If you want to, I'm all for going out there and doing the right thing. I'm all for, you know, if you're following the teachings of Jesus or whoever else, feed the sick, help the poor, visit those who are in prison. These are specific things that he has said, do this. And if your focus is on being anti something else and you're not doing these other things, then you're woefully lacking in your following of a God of love. So my opinion. So there you go. You can send all of your emails to Charles at
you know my anger and my frustration with this was the actions that they took. Instead of saying, and come out with a press release, say, I don't agree with this. My faith dictates that I'm not a part of this. I'm going to step out. You know what? It would have been a whole different story for me had she stepped out of the way and the Republicans backed her and they made her a poster child because she was out of the way, because she was acting in a way that was still positive versus the negative. And it just kills me.
This is an election year, so all these people are standing up and stepping up and going, well, I need to get reelected. These are people who are not getting eyeballs from their, you know, their constituents or from their people, because they're all looking at Trump right now. So they have to do something. Hey, look, I'm really pro your extra conservative viewpoint, so you should vote for me. I think things would be a little different if it wasn't an election year. I think things would be a little more calm if it wasn't so much.
And it's going to make this whenever we do the politics show, it's going to make it a live one. I think it's time to go, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I just want to say, be love. Love others. Love thy neighbor. You know, don't judge them. It's not our place to do that. Well, God hates blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? He'll let us know about that. You know, maybe, you know, America has been so blessed because it is so open-minded with religion, because, you know, God resides over all religion. He goes, well, look, you guys are, you know, letting people be with each other and love each other. So I'm going to bless your country. So be careful with that and make sure you love first. All right. Do you have anything else you want to add to that? I'm sorry. I just threw that out there. All right. By the way, I'm not sorry. So this has been R. Mordetmon.
And I'm Charles McFall saying, I am the architect of my coffee. I build its foundation and I choose its contents. Hashtag affirmation.
That's awesome. Ciao, success freaks. Boom, baby.